Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Hey, fellas. Welcome back.
Donnie.
How are you, boys?
Pretty good, bud. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
I haven't seen you in a while.
No, it's been too long. Yeah, I haven't seen Dean longer.
No, he's out of the bunker.
Yeah, Dean, yeah. You're out and about. It's nice to see you.
It's kind of nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be out.
Yeah, it's out of the bunker a little bit. Now, this is probably going to air a little bit down the road, but got him out to do some pitching stuff, which was cool. So, awesome.
You're just molding into the stud pitchers, eh?
Molding young minds.
Good for you. Well, it's not their minds, really. It's their arms that you got to really work on.
We are talking about pitchers, though, right?
Pitching is a mental game.
It is, but don't we have a performance, a mental performance coach?
That we do.
Work? Yeah.
Maybe you ought to stick to just learning
the lifter. And
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair?
Yeah, fair.
I found if you talk slower to
Why do you always pitchers? Do that? All you're doing is offending pitchers everywhere, even our guest right now. So that's good. He's going to...
You do that every time, too. You always blow the cover off who the guest is.
I didn't say the guest.
Not yet, but hey, just as a quick aside, have either of you ever been hit by this current guest?
No. You know what? And I'm trying to think. I may only have like maybe one or two games lifetime playing against him, really. There's one game will probably come up. You know, it's kind of a big game. Well, that'll probably come up. But
because
I played behind him a lot, just like, you know, two of the biggest asses in the game.
Right there.
Not character wise.
Like, no, you mean frame.
Frame.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, well, if
at
I can
time, on today, aren't
at the
you?
Time you were
you're
a big guy,
and who had 1 minute 30 seconds?
Yeah,
that's the over under on Dino getting a. Okay, so I will say this: I have a story about this guest too.
Okay.
I'm not sure he'll remember it because we were fairly insignificant at the time, but our guest took a bit of a run at us too, and it was the most intimidated I'd been on the diamond at the time. So, yeah. Do you want to bring? Let's bring him in. We've got another Hall of Fame pitcher, Rick Smith, joining us all the way from BC. Rick, welcome.
Smitty.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's happening?
Not much.
Rick, you want to get right into it? Let's talk about your start in the game. We only have an hour, and I have a funny feeling the stories are going to flow pretty easy today. So let's talk about how you started in the game of fastball.
Well, I probably started, you know, like most guys out here, is because my dad played. So as a young kid, you were dragged to the ballpark early because there's so many teams. Like out here in Victoria, there was, I grew up out in Souk. So Souk had a team. Stuffy McGinnis was absolutely huge at the time. Kind of a level down from, you know, Victoria Budgets that I think were the team that occupied Victoria. But, you know, there's so many teams. So you're dragging the ballpark with your parents, watching my dad play, being a bat boy with him at a young age. And then, you know, he was my coach. And that's how I kind of got started playing. For myself, I didn't start off pitching because, like most people, the short, fat guys go to shortstop. So that's kind of where they put me to start off.
Nice shot.
There you go.
That was pretty good.
Zing. There it is.
Hey, I got a question for you, though, Smitty.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're chasing foul balls when you were a kid, what was your go-to candy when you had, you know, maybe 25 cents or 30 cents saved up? What would you go to?
Well, it was a choice between the Freezies are always good and then those Fun Dips.
Fun Dips are so good.
I like the sponge toffee.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. That was more of a hockey thing, right?
The
toffee was kind of in the rinks, but it was a Fun Dip or the Freezies were the two that we kind of went to, the concession for sure.
The stick they gave you the Fun Dip was delicious, if I remember correctly.
Remember the old cigar seeds? SIDS?
Yeah.
I was always down to licking fingers, though, because I would eat the stick, like the candy stick. It was so good, I would eat it. First pouch would be gone, and then
The stick was good.
Just so for the listeners, what were they handing out for each foul ball? Was it a quarter? Was it a nickel?
I think I was nickel at one
nickel,
time.
Nickel, hey?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
25 cents maybe as I got a little older. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got to 17, 18, I think it was close to a quarter.
Saving up for college?
Nothing wrong with that.
Sorry. Okay, I don't want to cut you off. Keep rolling. You're doing well.
Oh, no. No, so then from there, moved out to Victoria, so that's where we kind of went to Canova Bay, as Dougie Allen was kind of alluding to.
Yes, he was.
In his little conversation there. You know.
We used to beat the crap out of Smitty all the time.
You know, like the catch up part, not holding it, was kind of true. I'm pretty sure that Gary Gardner at the time was my catcher. he did a pretty good job. Every once in a while, the other one sneak away from him, but not quite like Dougie was saying. But it was a good story by Dougie. I like that. End of the day, we had to win the provincials. They didn't, so yeah, that's good.
There it is. That didn't take long at all.
I hope you're listening, Doug. There you are.
There we go, and done. Thanks, Dougie.
Yes.
And then junior ball. I went to Army Navy out of Steveston there, and that's the first time I kind of met Dino, because Dino was playing with, was it the Country Merchants
Country
or
Tree.
Country?
Yeah, Country Tree. Yeah.
Yeah, Country Tree. There's always a big tournament there, the Umpires Tournament, which was a phenomenal tournament. All-star teams from every league would, end of the season, go somewhere and just play a big tournament. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I met Dino. Yeah. Young kid with the big flowing hair.
Oh, yeah.
That was your hockey hair
back then? No, I don't. I think I got rid of the blue tips by then, but yeah, I had some good hockey hair.
Did you have a nice moulet? You had a bit of a backslide, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. I think everyone had
some wings.
Yeah, for sure you did.
Yeah.
You should rock that now.
I did 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, 2 years ago I did it. Well, as kind of almost like a little bit of a gag. I let it grow and I let it grow, and then I actually was a little sad when I had to cut it off.
Yeah, the salt and pepper will look sharp on the Kentucky mudslide, I think. Ooh, it was real good. Real good. All party in the back, Dean Holine. I love that.
Yeah.
I didn't see much pepper in Dino's hair. A lot of salt.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of salt now.
A lot of salt there.
You got to look closer. It's in there. It's at the top. You got to get it.
Perfect.
Okay, so then that's your kind of covers your minor. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of your senior? Because my story involves your time with the Grey Sox.
Where was the big first break? Where was the big
I think, went to New Zealand for 4 years. I was down in New Zealand. I got a phone call about joining the Regents at the time because they're doing a Japanese tour. Mm-hmm. Were you part of that Japanese tour, Dino?
It was amazing. One of the best trips I've ever been on.
Yeah. So I got a call from... I can't remember who the heck it was that wanted me to come to Vancouver. But being an island kid, your heart's always set in Victoria because Victoria is just the dynasty, the history, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Adjoining Payless, and I got a phone call from Rocky Vitale, same time as in New Zealand, to say, hey, we kind of want you to come here. Are you interested? Absolutely. So that was an easy jump for me to go to Victoria, hometown, right in my backyard. So, played Victoria for a few years, a few name changes there from Payless to the Legends to the Travelers Inn. Ended up going to Houston to play with HIS Construction for a few years. And then the suitcase started from there between Wisconsin, California, Regina, and then Vancouver Grey Sox. And then ended my career with Dino and Tosh again in Aspen. So
yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was a good year.
We had a lot of fun matchups along the way there. Regina was a lot of fun too, because we weren't really on the map then. But I'm sure we'll get rolling into that.
Yeah,
too.
We'll get into some of those stories.
We'll
try not to offend Dean Miller this time because his sensitive nature.
Right. Wow. Oh, Millie.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Well, let's start with a story then. Do you have any funny stories you want to share with the guests, or should I get into mine right away?
Yeah, do yours. I want to hear yours.
So, Rick, we were a young and up-and-coming team, the Lloydminster Dodgers, and I want to say we were playing you in Portland, perhaps.
Could have been.
Yeah.
And we were trying to qualify for ISCs, but we were trying to qualify for the twos, and we had to play Rainey. We had to play you. Like, we were up against it. We had a third baseman who his plate... every time he got in the plate, stuck his back foot in, stuck his front foot in, and looked at his feet, okay? And there was a misunderstanding, is all I'll call it, where I believe you assumed he was looking at your signals. And the funny part is, even if he knew what the signal was, he wouldn't know what to do with it as it was anyway.
Yeah.
So, of course, there were some words exchanged initially. And then he got one in the center of the back. And so we were all senior B guys, kind of. We were a little bit intimidated, I'll say. Yeah. But we had one guy who you might remember, and you guys know for sure. His name's Fred Surrett. Who wouldn't back down from anybody. So there was a few things exchanged. And then, of course, Sean Villeneuve was the third baseman. Great, great hockey player, great guy. Got back in the box the next at bat and purposefully stared into the catcher's signals. And I thought for sure we were going to get into a – it was a big no-no. But that was our first taste of – hey, this guy's a national team pitcher, and he just drilled one of our guys. I thought it was a great, but no, it didn't work out well for us. I think we lost 9 or 10-0. But do you remember anything like that happening, Rick? Or is that a?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. You got to remember when I kind of came up. One of my idols was Stan Kern, and
there you go.
Stan Kern was probably one of the meanest
hitting people 101.
Individuals I know. And then when I was on the junior national team, I had G. McWillie.
Oh wow.
As a coach. And, you know, back when we started kind of playing, it was intimidation was a big part of the game. And there's some unwritten rules that I learned very young that you don't do. And Dino and Tosh probably recognize the name. Doug Chalmer was one of my coaches as well, too.
He's come up a few
He's
times.
He's come up. Yeah.
RIP, Dougie. Yeah. Yeah.
And Dougie was the guy that when we played junior ball, he goes, the senior teams are going to try and intimidate you, so you have to stand your ground. So it's kind of brought up with that mentality that you stick up for your teammates. There's some unwritten rules you just don't do. And when he kind of looked at his feet, he was warned, like, hey, don't look in the catcher's glove. I think it was his next words out of his mouth is what got me upset.
Yeah, he certainly didn't say, well, whoopsie-daisy. Sorry about that. Yeah. He did bark back. And what I will say is we've talked this on the cast a few times. That was the first lesson we learned as a senior club that, hey, and he wasn't trying to do it, but once he got called out on it, rather than back down, he decided to double down on his bet.
Yeah.
And it was a poor idea. But
because I didn't care at the time. It didn't matter. I was up by a bunch of runs. Like, you know what? If you want to go to first base at bat, I will gladly put you there.
So who's he playing? Who was Ricky with? Who was
the Gray Sox?
Oh, the Gray Sox. Sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. What year was that?
Geez.
Early 90s?
No. I was
no.
You were with the Dodgers?
Dodgers? Early, yeah. 01, 02,
okay.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere around there.
It didn't end well for us, for sure. But it was a real lesson, for sure.
You got to think, like you said, Smitty, it's a different era, like, that how things happened back then, and nowadays, you know, if that happens, it's like, you know, you're categorized as a meanie, a bully, or whatever, and maybe rightly so, because times change, but I think that's got to be one of the hardest things to explain to a new era type ball club to understand the rules that were played back then.
Yeah, some backstory. This Sean Villeneuve guy, he played hockey for Weber and went to the RBC, like a really good athlete, but he never really played high-level ball. So he didn't quite get the subtleties. I think, and if I can say this on the cast, what ended up happening, according to Rick, and he's right, he did say something, but then he also took a long time adjusting his can before the next pitch came. And that was the straw.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we all kind of were in the dugout. We're like, oh, please stop. Please stop doing this. But we had to defend our guy. But we didn't want to end up rolling with – there's some pretty big kids on that Gray Sox team, if I remember. Yeah.
So the Dodgers. So the little brouhaha with Ricky. And then it was the brouhaha with Newton and Dino.
Right.
Like, were you guys just kind of shit disturbers? Or what was the
– Yeah, it seems like we were. Yeah. We had a few guys.
A little bit.
So some of the guys that weren't on the same team, mind you, so they didn't learn the lesson, evidently.
Well, that's kind of the fun part about it, too, is like – and nowadays, again, we always compare now. There's just so much buddy-buddy going on, you hardly see any of that. I mean, I guess what – last 2 years at Canadians, though, there's always been a rumble.
A couple bench clears.
So maybe
it's
not as friendly as we think, right? But.
So, Smitty, you know, you were talking the jump to Victoria, and obviously you get to play with you know, your in RAP, which is probably the cathedral of softball in Western Canada, right? So, what was that like now? Because I know what it was like for me, but as a hometown guy, what was it like for you the first time you walked down those cement stairs into the dressing room?
It's goosebumps, right? Because you know, in Victoria, it's, you know, it's like playing with, you know, I hate to say it, like the Montreal Canadiens or Toronto Maple Leafs as a Canadian kid back in the day. Victoria was it. And it was covered so well by media, by news, by everything, that when you finally kind of get there and you walk down the stairs, you got goosebumps. Yeah. And then, you know, to walk in the dressing room and you see guys like Daryl Clarkson and Dougie Chase and Mark Makarith, who was a good guy at the time, Anthony Batoria, all those guys that you were a young kid watching up in the stands play. Now you're sitting side by side with them. and going to battle with him, it was definitely interesting. You know, Dave Badovinic, who's probably one of the nicest men in the game and the hardest working guy of the game, and, you know, not the most talent, but
definitely
make up for it hard work.
But definitely our big toe, right? Battle was kind of the glue guy for sure, right? And I mean, a lot of guys remember this about Battle, but he was the MVP of the 92 Worlds, and he hit seventh in that lineup.
Yeah.
Right? So that says a lot, too. Yeah, real hard-working dude.
And it means a lot to the other guys out here who bat seventh sometimes, occasionally. I bat seventh. You can still contribute in the seventh.
That's right. That's right.
Tosh just like going to Victoria because at the time he probably still doesn't know how to do his own laundry, but he used to throw Bounce, you know, Tide, just throw it all into one machine, and whether it was the dryer or the washer, he didn't know what was going on. So he really appreciated that washing uniforms.
I'm sure. And there is a story, and I think I told it on the cast before. Like, so Ricky, you'll know this. You have your spot. Like, everybody has their spot in the dressing room, and when I walked in, it was a hard right and basically straight a shot to the wall, and I sat beside Corey Giroux, and we were both new at the same time. You played a year before I got there, right?
Yeah.
So Rue and I started at the same time, and I just remember, you know, taking my uniform off after that first game, and I'm starting to fold it up or whatever, and I can't remember if it was Bobby Cord or somebody looking at me like, what are you doing? Just throw it in the bag. And I'm like, what? no, Granzes did the laundry. They did it, you know? And I asked Jen about that, and she said, you know what? We pay so much for these uniforms. There's no way you guys are taking them home and racking them, putting them in the washing machine. So, yeah, it's crazy.
So my son does laundry the same way because he wants someone else to do it. So is that your excuse, Tosh? Hey, I don't know how to do it, so someone grab my laundry and figure it out.
It works with diapers, too.
Patty Mac tells a story. His first kind of at his wife's, his in-law's place, he's over for supper, and he was supposed to do dishes or whatever. So he got out of that by every time he dried something, he put it in the wrong spot. So they were looking for stuff for weeks for different utensils and stuff, couldn't find them. They never asked him to do dishes again, he said. So I think that's maybe what I was thinking there.
It's not a bad move. That's actually a veteran move.
Yeah, not bad.
When I was little, I got up. The baby was crying. I got up. I think I changed her. I can't really recall. Okay. But I did put her under the crib when I left. And oddly enough, I never had to get up in the middle of the night with the kids anymore. So it's kind of cool.
Wow.
Wow. Who was your first game against? Do you remember? At RAP.
At Real Athletic?
Yeah.
The first game was against Seattle.
Yeah, it figures in. Yeah.
Because Seattle usually came through right away.
Another storied franchise, too. Probably saw a few of those games in your as a youth, I would think. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, through for Seattle.
Seattle Pan Pack and then C-First, and that's, you know, 1990 was really first part watching us when Jimmy Moore won with Seattle against, I can't remember who they played in the final. Pencor,
yeah.
Yeah, in the final, so. Yeah. Lots of history in that ballpark, though. Like, you know, I think, you know, early on, I was, my first year at Victoria, I was 10-0, won MVP pitcher of the year, or pitcher for the league that year. Second year I did that. And it was quite fun because I blew about 10 of Corey's wins and pulled out the, trying to save the game. So he lost it. I ended up getting the win because, of course, we scored the run in the seventh.
Yeah.
And poor guy work his butt off for six innings. I just throw two pitches, one will go out. Game's tied up, blow the save, get the win. I go 10-0.
Oh, you seagulled a few of his wins there. Good for you.
Very nice.
Yeah,
that's so nice, though. Smitty's giving credit to Rue, right?
That's right.
That's what pitchers do. That's what.
You know, it's a union better. We all stick together.
That's right.
That's right.
So how long did you and Corey throw together?
Probably about 4 or 5 years, I guess, in Victoria before I went one way and Corey went another way. You know, we kind of left Victoria because the sponsorship was kind of drying up there. So it was like, you kind of stick around, hopefully a sponsor works, or you kind of go somewhere else. And I went to Houston. I think Corey ended up going to Tampa or Wisconsin. I can't remember, one of the two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Smokers. Well,
he played for both, though. Yeah.
He came first.
I can't imagine. a staff with both of these two Yahoos on it. That's a pretty tough one, too.
Oh, I was trying to remember when you said Seattle. Like, I played a year with T-Bell. And yeah. We're going to have another guest on here in a little while. I'm just trying to think of what year that was. Because it was the year that Big Z won his all of his games at the IC. What year was that?
That year...
Because T-Bell and I played.
95.
You guys played with
95.
Into Seattle Seahawks then.
Yeah. He had 10 wins, 150 Ks, and a 69-inning scoreless streak.
Are you sure?
Tournament.
Yeah. You beat them with Seahawks or you beat them with Vancouver?
With Seahawks.
You beat him with Seahawks. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yep.
That was in Sioux City, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he went on his big run.
Right.
It's a pretty good career in one tournament. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yep.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yep.
So... we host in what year? 97, Smitty, right? We hosted everything. We had Nationals and the ISC.
Yeah.
And our Nationals pitching staff was Ricky Smith, Corey Giroux, Mike Pietnik, and Darren Zach.
Not bad.
It was okay. It was an okay staff. I mean, we had to score a lot of runs, obviously, right, to keep those guys, give them support. But, yeah, that was a national team staff.
Four basically. Hall of Fame, national team.
Yeah.
Who did anyone else have? Where did you play, Dean? Because he'd be the only other guy.
I was with Vancouver that year. Vancouver. 97.
Yeah. Yeah, we played them in the undefeated crossover.
And who was on your staff with you?
Patty Mack.
I know Bish was there. Wasn't Bish with us then?
Yeah.
But there was somebody else. I'm trying to think.
Wasn't Carlos with you?
Well, at one point he definitely was.
What year,
Dean? Just don't know. 97.
Yeah.
Was Underhill there yet?
Nope.
That guy's a monster too, by the way.
Yeah, he was too young then, I think.
Yeah, Dina was throwing the ball like
you had the ball all the time.
A billion.
Well,
miles
Steve Price was there for a while.
Not then.
No. He wasn't there with Vancouver though. He was with the Ravens.
Yeah,
and Boca. Regent.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys had a really good team then because that was when I that was probably one of the reasons I came over, Smitty, is because there was that all those players leaving the island, right? Hermie. Elias,
Herford left.
Yeah, Herford. They all went and played for the Ravens.
Penman went the other way.
And Penman came to Victoria. That's right. And we had a really, really young team that first year in 95, I guess. Really young team.
Just talk about Rick, if you can. You got those four arms on one team. How does the coach determine who throws what game and how do you get enough innings?
Well, you know, for myself, I always had... You know, I had Corey. I had guys like Corey, Dino, Peaches. Obviously, those guys are going to log majority of the innings, right? So my mentality was basically my job is keep those guys on the bench, keep them rested, right? So for me, it's easy when you get called upon to do your job, go do it. Victoria's very good at getting pitchers in the ball games. You know, you get up by a bunch of runs, we pull a guy out, put somebody else in to kind of eat up innings. And that's just kind of what you do. So it was always a treat watching these guys throw.
Here's a major difference. So you're saying that you did some mop-up innings, which is crazy to me. I do mop-up innings for our team. I am a mop-up guy. It seems odd that that you would be even considered that. Well, I go out there we need to keep this game going. Just keep Galenza on the bench. Don't you go out there and spin a few dippers.
As much success as he's had, Smitty, as much success as you've had, the fact that you appreciate that role at the time, because I mean I talked about it even my role with when I came back later on. You're that role, so it's good when because the role's not always the same, right? There's gonna be times you're gonna have to carry the mail and there's gonna be other times you're gonna have to carry the bucket of balls at the end of the game.
Well, and I think too, Smitty, like the one thing that I wanted, and I bring this into even our program, and it's one of the things that I learned very early on in Victoria, when we would have those four-game sets at home and we'd be playing doubleheaders kind of back-to-back days, everybody played the same amount, pretty much, right? And that was Rocky's kind of strategy as a coach, was the whole year is to try out for the Worlds and who gets hot and Canadians, and everybody was getting the same. And I think that probably lend itself really well to the fact that we knew exactly what we had as far as players and depth at positions, Everybody moved around. Like, you know, I played some outfield. I played some second. I played some short. Bobo was playing short. He's playing some first. Bobby was playing second because he can only throw it that far. But I mean, like, we moved guys around, and I think that probably helped us at the end of the year because everybody kind of was game ready because everybody played, right? So, you know, I think when you talk about you came in and did some mop up for some of these guys, you carried the ball in some pretty big games though too there, big fella. And I think you and Corey and, you know, and whoever else was there, T-Bell, pitchers throughout the years, I think you guys as a staff really supported each other and did a good job with that and just knew that, hey, yeah, I'm going in to mop up. But it could have been Rue coming in as well, you know, throwing some late innings, you know, for you as well. So, I mean, I think it was just a, you know, and like Dean said, it's pretty cool that you do say that because, you know, it's just accepting a role and going from there. And I think it's a huge thing for young players to understand that.
Yeah, like for us, the thing was that we had league play, right? And Rocky put, you know, lineup for the whole weekend up on the wall. So there was no mystery on what game you were playing and when you weren't playing, which was good some nights and bad other times. But for extracurricular stuff at nighttime, you didn't have that first game in the morning. You know,
we played. We played morning games.
Oh, it was like noon, wasn't it?
I don't think I was in that lineup then.
So just to be clear, are you saying that if you started Friday and you saw the lineup card for Saturday morning and you weren't on it, you felt you had a longer leash maybe to have some time in the gardens? Is that what you're kind of getting at?
I think that is.
I don't know why you're talking about gardens. For me, it was just a nice steak dinner and
right.
Good company with friends and stuff like that. But I don't know, we never had gardens in Victoria because by the time we left the ballpark, the garden was closed.
That's true. Yeah, late games, man.
Pro tip, yeah. Rick, any place can be a garden if you put a sixer in your bag, bud. Anywhere you want. You can set up your own beer garden.
Well,
the fridge was usually full downstairs, though. The fridge was usually full downstairs.
So it
was always full downstairs.
I got a couple of you that played in Victoria. I wanted to know from both of you, I guess, what was, other than everyone else that wanted to go there, what was the appeal of going to Victoria? What made you guys decide to look into that team?
I think... From my side, I mean, Ricky can talk about being the hometown guy. From my side, I knew Victoria was obviously a good franchise to play for. It was a great city because I'd played out there at the ISC. I'd done some of that stuff. But that was at the time that the Merchants folded in Camrose. So I was looking for a team. Right, that was the biggest thing. I didn't realize kind of what it meant to play for that franchise. You know, Smitty talked about the different names, but essentially it's the same franchise. I didn't know what it meant to play for that franchise until I got out there before the season, and we would always go up island and do those camps as a fundraiser. We'd always do those minor ball camps up and down the island, and just putting on, you know, the jersey or the hat or whatever it was and seeing the kids flock, then you knew that all of a sudden you were a part of something, you know, pretty cool. And just then everything around it for me, it was like it was you and Bato that actually came up with the idea of me wearing 51. Because when I went out there, I was 15 when I went to Camrose, and that was Glenn Jevney, so I couldn't do that. So I put on 26 because that was Wade Boggs' number, and he was my favorite player. So I go out, couldn't be 15 because that was Mark McGrath, okay, and he had just retired. Couldn't be 26 because that was the great Daryl Clarkson, so I'm not going to get that one. So then it was bad on Smitty, so I'll just flip the numbers around. So that's how I got the number 51. But I get out there, and I mean, my unis are all hanging in the stall. I got my bat, my bag. There's nothing else in the room, boys. They just took me out there, showed me the dressing room, and all my stuff is there. It was Rocky and Jen took me down. It was amazing. And then my first night in town after I moved, you and Bato came over to Rocky and Jen's, and because I still hadn't, they hadn't found a place for me yet, so I was staying at their place. And it was just, I just felt at home right away. And I mean, and I just, everything around it, I just loved it. I mean, the fact that, you know, there was a bunch of fans there every game, and it was playing pro is what it was. It was amazing. And I think but it didn't really, you know, hit me until I was really
there.
You
didn't go there for that reason, but you found out when you got
there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Pretty crazy to go from an organization like Camrose that was really well run then to land in Victoria the next year. Usually there's got to be some kind of a gap there, but you go right from one A-plus organization right to another. That's a great story. Rick, how about you? What was, other than the hometown side, what was the appeal of playing there?
Well, I think the biggest thing in Victoria that people kind of fail to realize is that it was all local guys. Like all these other organizations were flying guys in from New Zealand and Australia and wherever and all over the States. You know, Guanella Brothers at the time was pretty big. You know, Seattle and all that stuff, Pencorp, they're all bringing these guys in. Victoria is always known for just its local guys. So it was guys on the island that would put this team together. It was a tough team to make. But there's just for me, it was just a history, the names that you constantly heard over and over and over again. And to be asked to play for them is, how the heck do you say no to that? It was pretty hard. It's an honor to get a chance to wear that uniform. And just be a part of the history of that organization. But like Tosh said, the ballpark was full with fans, but the best part about the fans is that they're knowledgeable fans. Mm-hmm. And they would cheer great plays on either side of the diamond. Didn't matter what team it was. If you made a great play, they would applaud and cheer. If we messed up, they had no problem giving it to us.
Yeah, no, that's right. They were pretty knowledgeable, but they didn't know what my middle name was. They were calling me A-hole, and it really wasn't that. So they weren't totally knowledgeable.
No, because you're so focused, Dino. They're saying Dino, not A-hole.
No, they were so fun. Everybody loved playing there, whether you were on Victoria or playing against them. Those crowds were right into every game. It was so much fun.
Okay, so you want to get into your ISC career a little bit, Rick? Well, we want to slide into that a little bit, because there's a pretty big record you hold that I think is bears being put on the cast for sure.
Yeah, I think my first ISC was in Kimberly, Wisconsin, which for your first ISC is
beautiful.
It's pretty phenomenal. You know, the main diamond with the river in the background, and just the hordes of people. Like, next to Victoria, I think Kimberly is a pretty special place to play because, again, the fans come out in droves, and being a big world tournament, you hear so much about it, but you don't know. You have no idea what it is to actually get there. And back when we played, it was 1-2 barbecue. If you lose 2, you're going home. There was no round robin, no extra games, no nothing. You could come in on a Friday and be going home on a Monday before the teams even play a first game. So to play in there was a lot of fun. Getting packed off in the hospital wasn't a lot of fun either, because I think I got hit line drive in the face
right
and knocked
face.
Out.
Ooh, yeah.
And sent to the hospital. Came back. I had Dave Grisdale, I believe, was my roommate that woke me up every hour to make sure I was still fine. And then pitched the next day, and I think Rocky was catching at the time. I'll never forget this. Because I had a decent changeup. It was kind of one of my go-to pitches. I think I threw about 7 or 8 in a row. And Rocky wanted to call another one and said, whatever, I come from the mentality, whatever the catcher puts down, I throw. And a guy hit it up on the second diamond, up over top of the outhouse in the left field. And the guy's running around the bases, and, you know, Rocky looks at me and goes, that's okay, Smitty, you've been hit a lot harder in the face than what the guy hit that one. I'm like, you know, here's your family right here. Here's your ball team right there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you got hit and pitched the next day?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I didn't see it live, but I saw the video. It was gross.
I guess they didn't have the same concussion protocol that maybe they have. You maybe would have been in a dark room probably for a while, I would imagine.
Yeah, so that's an introduction to the ISCs. And then, you know, there's so many great memories of ISCs and bad memories too. You know, teams you think you're going to do well, but you don't do so well. Teams that you go, this is going to be a quick trip, and all of a sudden you're coming into the last few days with a chance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Probably one of my most enjoyable was that, again, back in Kimberly, when with Aspen, that run that we went on.
Yeah.
That was pretty, you know, we're about 1 or 2 outs away from winning it with a very special group. That was probably, that was a good group of guys, that Aspen team.
Yeah.
You know, playing with Houston, with Nacho, if any of you guys know Nacho Hernandez, who owned HIS, just a phenomenal guy to play for, and just great, fun guys. To play with it. know, not the most talented, but the biggest heart out of some of the teams. And, you know, so the IC is always special. It's always a fun tournament. Everyone looks forward to that one at the end of the year for sure.
Hey, this Aspen team, was Butcher on that team? Do you remember?
Not that one, but oh, yeah, okay. Oh, we had this discussion. Yeah, that was good.
I want to see if you had a memory of that. What, Rick, what year did you, because there's a record you hold still, 20 Ks in a 7-inning game.
Yeah, that was in Eau Claire. That was with the SoCal Bucks. We're playing the German national team. Czech Republic. Yeah. They're playing that one there on that second diamond, mid-afternoon.
The upper.
And I throw a drop ball, and these guys are all like ex-baseball players. And I throw a drop ball to the first hitter, and he almost takes third baseman's head off. And I went, oh, that's interesting. And being a drop ball pitcher, I'm going, this might be a short day for me if this is the leadoff hitter. Throw another pitch to the second hitter, and he's a lefty, and he almost kills our first baseman. And just a real aggressive swing. And I'm going, you better mix something up here. So next hitter gets up, I'm going, okay, let's try this rise ball thing that I just kind of showed it.
That you've heard so much about.
Heard so much about, right? And I'm going, if they're spinning on my drop ball like this, which is my go-to, I can only imagine how far this rise ball is going to go. So I throw a rise ball, and they look at me like, what is that? And I'm kind of looking back at the hitter going, you don't know what that is.
Yeah, how did you not hit that? Yeah.
Right? Like I'm talking, you know, Colin McKenzie, Flatsy McCuddles. Like,
yeah.
And they just had this biggest hit from coming from baseball to softball. They didn't know what it was.
It's tough.
And I had Aaron Owens was my catcher at the time. And I said, I don't need a signal anymore because I'm going with one pitch the rest of the day until they prove to me they can hit it.
Yeah.
And 20 strikeouts later, obviously they couldn't hit it. And, you know, that's how that one kind of came about. So not a rise ball pitcher throwing rise balls to a bunch of guys who couldn't hit rise balls. It was a fun day.
You made the adjustments, Smitty.
So just for everyone out there, how many outs are in a 7-inning game?
21.
And you had how many Ks?
20.
That's right. So that's it's about as good as it gets right there.
Pretty good
day. And the other out was a ground ball back to me, and I threw it to first base. So I had an assist on that one as well.
So were the first and thirds, were they, like, foul?
Were they foul?
Yeah.
No.
We didn't say a perfect game.
No.
They
could have got two hits. Okay, they weren't outs.
No, they weren't outs. I didn't get the zone with a perfect, you know. I had two hits with 20 Ks.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. So the first two guys got hits, and then 21 straight outs.
Yeah. And then the funny thing, the next night we played Todd Martin on the number one diamond, and Todd Martin got 20 Ks that night against our team.
Wow.
And I think that game we lost 1-0, and I think the game took a matter of 45 minutes to play.
Wow.
Todd was getting mad because he couldn't get a smoke in between innings.
Very cool.
Well, that's good. Yeah. You guys both like to work quick, so
yeah, that's right. Imagine. Yeah, it would have been a quick game with you two going. That's for sure. So, Smitty, I got a question, and I know what I don't think I've ever asked you about this, so you have a very unique first hitter of the game tradition.
Yeah,
you finish your warm up pitches, the ball goes down to second, throws around the horn, you get the ball back, and then you walk from the rubber to second base, you kick it a couple times, and then you walk back. And I mean, I'll let you go into it if you want. And then I'll tell the story of the first time I saw it as a player on the same, like as on the field. Okay. All right. So where did that come about? What's the meaning? What was, cause I think you told me one time and I forget.
Yeah. It's just one of those things just to kind of, you know, you kind of get loose, get your warm up pitches in, and then it's just a matter of focus, right? Blocking everything else out and just getting yourself in the right mindset. So for me, it was kind of a couple of little deep breaths to kind of clear your mind, and then, you know, just kind of shake out a little bit of cobwebs. It was just more of a focus thing, and, you know, had pretty good success, you know, and it becomes, you know, just a thing you kind of do.
Yeah.
I don't want to say superstitious or nothing, but, you know, it just becomes a thing you kind of do, and it just becomes a part of you.
It's a routine, and getting in your happy place, right?
Yeah. You know, just kind of getting yourself focused and, you know, like, Ken Revisa told us, and you remember this story in Houston, you know, just flushing the toilet, right? Get out of the box, flush the toilet. So when you step in a circle, it's business. And, you know, for me, I treated it like a job when I played. I was always ready to go when it's come time, time to throw. And it was business, and I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to let my teammates down. I didn't want to not succeed. So I wanted to do everything I could to be ready to go. And that's one thing I did, just to kind of get ready to go, and just kind of stuck with me, really.
So I'm standing at shortstop, right? And you're doing this thing, and we'd thrown it around. So probably Bobby Court was at second, and we do our little flip, and we're probably talking, and then you start walking towards us. And I remember thinking, maybe he's going to give us the signals. Or I have no idea what's going on here. And I think I might have even said, hey, bud, and you walked right by me, didn't say a word, kicked your base two times, did your little jig thing, and walked right back. And I'm thinking, what a dick. but I was like, where are you? And then after a while, it just became, you know, something, you know, we got another 15 seconds here because Ricky's got to do his thing. So I can tie my shoe. I can do whatever I need to do. But it was a unique thing for sure. And I like the message where it was just kind of, you know, as in for the love of the game, just clear the mechanism, yeah. Right? And yeah. Away you go. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I think the good part too, with is that people understood what I did. So, you know, you come in a ball game, there's a guy at second base, they'd always walk off the bag.
Yeah.
Right. Like they wouldn't stand there. They'd kind of, I'm gonna go for a little walk in the outfield. Let me do my thing at second base. I'd walk back. They'd walk back on the mound. And to me, that's respect a bit too for what you're doing, right? Yeah. If you had the odd person would kind of stand there. You kind of look at me like, what are you doing? It didn't matter. If you want to stand there. It didn't matter. It was my own thing that I kind of did. But most guys respect that, and they kind of walked away. So it was nice.
Yep. Very cool.
No, the only advice I'd give any of them is don't stand on the tracks when the train's coming through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go.
There's got to be a better place to stand than right in the center of that.
Yeah, cool. It's one of those things.
So with all the throwing you've done and the teams you played on, can you talk a bit about who's the best catcher that you had the best chemistry with or who you throw with that worked the best?
Good question.
Oh, wow. You know, suitcase like Dino and Tosh, there's lots of guys you play with. You know, I was spoiled early. I had guys like Dougie Chase and Rocky Vitale to kind of get me started and kind of show me the right way. Two totally different catchers. Rocky was very methodical in his approach, kind of get you through the ball game and everything else like that. Dougie was definitely more high energy.
Motivator.
And, you know, Dougie would get every ounce of energy out of you night in and night out. And Dougie's philosophy, give me one pitch, we'll win the game. Give me two pitches, it's okay. Give me three pitches, and this is going to be a special night. You know, so I had them guys right at the start of my career, which was nice to kind of have to kind of break into the senior. You know, you guys can't. It's pretty hard. You know, you have Obi, probably one of the nicest guys to throw to. His glove is so big when he throws it up and gives you a target. You know, it's amazing, soft hands.
Who did you throw to in New Zealand? Do you have any guys there that we would know?
Patty Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I was so privileged to throw to some good guys. I've also thrown to some guys that shouldn't have been catchers, but.
yeah, like, who was the guy in Vancouver that wasn't hiding his signals very well and we were having a peek at him? Who was that?
Who caught? You know what? That was Sean Cameron.
Sean Cameron. Yeah.
The late Cammy. And you know what, Cammy? And I'll tell you Sean Cameron's story. Back in, we're in Victoria. We're back in PEI, the great 2001 team.
Yep.
And Mark Macker, Mac was coaching at the time. Mac goes, okay, Cammy, you got your catcher the next game. He's like, okay, Smitty's strong. So that's okay. So, you know, we go out for a nice little steak dinner that we always did and a couple pops. We're walking down the hallway, and all you hear is this ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. And we're going, what is that noise? And then you hear it repeat, ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. So Anthony Vittoria goes, I got to go look. Opens the door, and there's Josh McKay and Sean Cameron. Sean Cameron's in catcher's gear. Pads and belly pad on, and McKay is bouncing balls at him.
Yeah, he's blocking him. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes, look, look. He goes, I don't want any balls to get through tomorrow, so I'm just working, blocking balls
awesome.
And everything.
Awesome.
And all Barney said was, sounds good, close the door, we walked back. That was the team that we had. He's like, yeah. What do we got to do to get ready?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then so I threw the camera that night, and I'm going, like, I'm taking my mind, I'm going, I better take it easy on this guy. He hasn't done it. Did a phenomenal job.
Did they ask him to go get me a Coke and none of that stinking root beer?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
I was always appreciative of a catcher because, tell you what, I wouldn't want to be squatting back there with some of the guys throwing at him, bat swing in front of your face, foul tips. Like, those guys get beat up. And you know what? Sometimes they have a bad night. We all have bad nights, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's appreciative of every catcher that's caught for me. So it's thumbs up to all of them.
Just talking about that 0-1 team, because I was a pickup on that team. I wasn't in Victoria then, and we went with 12 guys. Like, we didn't have a big bench, right? And it was you and Peaches all the way, and we got hot. But the one thing I will say is we did. You talked about you didn't want to call it a superstition, but we did have some superstitions that week. It was you and Anthony. Like, I was your roomie that week, and Bert and maybe Bobo. We found that hole in the wall diner, and we ate there every morning. We had to eat there every morning, but the best one was the school bus guy. So we're taking the school bus to the ballpark, and it's taking us on this certain route every time. We always had the same bus driver. He did the same route, and for whatever reason, before the final, we load up on the bus and we're taken off to the ballpark, and a new bus driver, which wasn't good. That's not good for us. No, because that threw us for a little bit of a twister there. And then she went, I think it was a woman driver, and it doesn't really matter, but they took a different route to the ballpark, and we made them turn around, go all the way back to the hotel and take the route that we had taken all week. Like, that's how, yeah. But I mean, it was just one of those weeks where everything just kind of went our way.
Just clicked.
Yeah, because we had a decent team, but probably not the team that should have won that. You know, like, Owen Sound was loaded up. We played them in the final. But just, yeah, things just went our way, for sure.
Who was on that Owen Sound team?
Everybody.
Everybody else?
Yeah, they were loaded up. They were defending champs because they...
Underwood.
They had probably won in 2000 in Saskatoon, right? And then, they were loaded up. Coxie and... Yeah, Patty Graham. They were loaded up. They had a really good team, for sure. Yeah. But it just went well for us. And then we would be remiss. I mean, because you and Dino basically must have thrown 1,000 pitches in Winnipeg with that Regina team that, you know, we went. And again, I don't want to offend.
Too late,
Millie.
Too late.
Right, because he was like, "What do you mean? You can't talk about Regina." There's no way we should have been in that final. But again, everything just kind of went our way, right? And a couple clutch hits here, and a key loss by somebody else there, and I mean, yeah, we deserved to be there. We played well, but that was basically you and Dino.
We were ranked pretty low.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, ranking.
We didn't even win provincials that year.
Just an etiquette statement here. Generally speaking, when you say, "I don't mean to offend," the next sentence out of your mouth is an offense. And I know you don't mean to. And I know that's not the point, but that's generally what you're prefacing it by saying, "Hey,
yeah,
I'm going to offend you now, but don't be."
Yeah, Millie was throwing some hate texts back, though. Like, he was really offended by the fact that we just said that we didn't think that we should have been in the final. Like, that silver medal was a gold medal, man. Like, it was, that was huge.
Yeah. And so, just to Millie out there, hey, that wasn't a knock. It was you weren't the first team that probably shouldn't have ended as high as you did. And proud of the accomplishment. It's not a knock at all.
No, not at all. No. Not at all. No.
Okay, so Smitty, one more question, I guess. Well, I got two more, but so you've faced some Hall of Famers through your career. Who was the toughest hitter you had to face, or who gave you the hardest time at the plate?
Ray Atkinson.
I could answer that question for you, bud.
And who did he play for?
Seattle.
And what was his issue? Did you just eventually take the route of the Dodgers and decide to put one, give him four
his,
pitches?
His issue was he hit the ball too far.
So
he was amazing.
Ray Atkinson, I don't know what it was with Ray. I just could not get him out. Didn't matter what. I could have a gem of a game, and Ray would get up there like whistling Dixie and just smash it over the fence. I was actually intentionally walking him one night, and he hit one out.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Hey, like, we were playing, was it in Poco? We played in that tournament in Poco, and he hit three in one game or something. Wasn't it something like that, Smitty?
He must.
Yeah,
I think
he was a great hitter.
Yeah.
I think he's given a lot of pitchers fits.
Yeah.
You know, sure. like Tosh and Dino can contest to this too. Like when you got a good read on a pitch and you feel comfortable, it doesn't matter how hard they're throwing. You just get in the box and you go, you know what? This could be a good day.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Daryl Sandback, a young kid that came into Victoria and facing Darren Zach for the first time. And Z's in with Toronto. And Daryl's been playing hockey, so he's been away on the Memorial Cup run and everything. So Rocky Vitale, being smart as well, he goes, you know what, Daryl, you bat leadoff in this series. Just get some ABs in. Everyone else has been playing for about a month. Just get a lot of swing, get a lot of work in. So Sandy's looking, and Z throws the ball, and Daryl hits it down the left field line for a single. Next at bat, left field line for a single. Hits one up the middle. He goes, who's this big guy throwing? He's not very good. You know, you just get those guys and you can hit. Bad Vinick can hit Z very well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, other guys, you know, they haven't got a foul ball off of guys like that. Yeah. But when a guy can read a pitcher very good, he hits the ball well. I hate saying this, and it's going to make me sick to my mouth, but, you know, Patty hit me well.
Yeah.
You know, Patty was always a pain in my butt, too, throwing to him, because he would just... He had a good read on me. Didn't matter where I put it. I try to throw it over his head, and he'd smash it.
He'd just flip his wrist. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you have those guys that you play against. He's got a good read on you, and I hated seeing him. Yeah. Right? And that's why I thought, you know what? I'll just put one in the rib cage, and then they get the first. Because I know they're, you know, it was way easier. I know they're getting on base. I'd rather be a single that I give them than something to hit over the fence.
Yeah. Save some pitches. There's no need to do that. Don't work that. Work smarter, not harder. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, and that was the thing with myself as a pitcher. I believe in using my defense. Everyone says, you know, they want to strike out the side. Well, that's a minimum 9 pitches. But for me, I can be back as I go in 3. And that was the mentality I kind of went with, right? I'd rather use my defense as a pitcher and not try and strike out the side. But every once in a while, the odd one would get away from me and slip out of my fingers, and lefties in the foot and righties in the head, or vice versa.
I've heard someone else say that for sure, yeah.
Well, one thing, like, and you know what? It was a lot of fun playing behind you, Smitty, because you knew what you were going to get every game. You know, whether you had a great outing or an outing that maybe wasn't as good as the one before that, you always knew as a player you were gonna give 100%, and that you had to be ready because you pitched to your defense. And you just said it, and you did that. I mean, you hit your spots as well as anybody, and you had that hard down with a good change, and we knew. And a lot of two hoppers with a lot of downspin, right? It's just it was great playing behind that, because you know, and especially in Victoria, you know, you got the great infield, and there was never any bad hops, and yeah, I enjoyed really playing behind that for sure.
When I went to Houston, I had a deal there with Nacho. He goes, if you can do 10 pitch innings or less, I'll give you a bit of a bonus. And I think that lasted the first weekend, and he took it away.
Well, that had to be. I was going to say, because I did get one opportunity, one tournament. I went down and got to play with Nacho, and I think at the time, because I didn't know who he was, and obviously, you know, you rely on people that have been there or whatever. I remember getting a hold of you and asking you what kind of guy this Nacho was, because I had no clue. You know, you're flying down there, and you know whether you're going to make it or whether somebody's picking you up or what the heck's going on. So. But yeah, my thought was it was so hot down there, I could never have played there. Like it was one weekend, and I'm thinking, like, I almost died. There was, who was the great big, we brought him up before. He used to play with Midwest down there. Big, tall guy. He played on the U.S. team for a little bit. Remember, he took the breath when with the national team. Remember, and we were talking about Budke. We had Budke on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Who's the big?
Don't know.
From St. Louis?
He went down. Remember, he went down so that Whitey could warm up.
Oh, Luster.
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 T. Luster.
Terry Luster.
Yeah, and you know what? He was cruising down there. He was used to the heat, and he'd been down there. I know I talked to him, and he had been down there quite a few times, and he was just cruising. And it was hot, but, you know, he was obviously accustomed to playing down there. I honestly don't know how you would have done it, because you played down there for, like, did most of your games happen down there, or were you guys traveling elsewhere?
No, the biggest one down there was in San Antonio. They had a big tournament down there, which was good, but everything else, we traveled Midwest like everybody else. But yeah, the first time playing in San Antonio, where it's 112 degrees, 95% humidity.
It's not right.
Actually, I had black spikes. I had to go get white ones because the black ones, the glue was melting off the bottom part of my soles and my shoes.
Oh. So
personally, the only time I ever wore white spikes, unlike Tosh, who wears white all the time. Because
easy now.
Yeah.
Easy now.
Well, Dean, to be fair, Dean. You're of Scandinavian descent.
I
is
am.
That correct?
Yes.
I don't believe people from the north are meant to throw in 112.
Oofta.
No,
that's all I gotta say. Is oofta.
That's too hot to do anything. That's crazy. Good for you guys. White spikes though. Good for you.
See, that makes sense now because Dino always threw the cold games. Always got stuck
in
the cold. Now I can see
really
why.
Did.
Yeah, he loved the cold. That's right. Yeah. Hey, I'd be remiss to, and then we talk about this. You know, Donnie, one of your claims to fame is that you throw awesome BP.
Oh, the best. Yeah.
Well, pretty good. The guy that we got on the cast right now throws the best pregame BP on the planet, which is weird.
Yeah, your
which is really weird for a starting pitcher, but yet he just, he threw thigh high dippers just right where they needed to be. I could be 0 for weekend. Yeah, and he would get my confidence right back in there, man.
That's a good
awesome.
Teammate right there, Rick. Attaboy.
Well, you know, it was one of those things with Victoria, which we own the ballpark. When you came to the ballpark, we had the whole thing. You had to go, visiting teams had to warm up in the outfield because we had batting practice before a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, during the week we practice Tuesdays and Thursdays or Wednesdays and whatever it was we had to practice. And a lot of times I was the only pitcher that showed up. And when you have guys like Dougie Chase that takes batting practice and he'd hit like 15 massive bombs.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going, okay, this guy's ready to go. Half hour later, he's still swinging, but now he's mad because he's so tired, he's popping everything up.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to hit his bat to get him out of there. Then you get a guy like Batto. He hit one down the first baseline, pull one down the third baseline, hit it up the middle, and walk away, throw three pitches, and be done. Like, I'm good, walk away. So you learn, you know, give the guys a chance to hit the ball hard. Made my job easy pitching because I know these guys are going to put up 8 or 10 runs a night. So I didn't want to be out there for 45 minutes throwing BP, but it was also fun watching these guys just twist on balls and just get the confidence up. So
every team's got one or two guys that's like, oh, one more. One more. Yeah. And that takes 20 more pitches.
98, 99.
And I remember warming up in the outfield, like he said, and balls bouncing all around you.
So we've had Braden Arcana on the cast. He plays with us, and he's that guy on our team.
Monsters.
Take 100 swings. And I'm like, hey, man, these don't count. Like you don't. It doesn't matter how many more you hit. You're good. Like, get lost.
Yeah.
But some guys just like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So last question before we get into parting shots, because we're already at an hour, which we knew would happen. The best venue or complex, I mean, you've been in New Zealand, you've been all across North America. What's the best venue you've played at?
Well, Royal Athletic is still special. Like, that ballpark is unbelievable. With the fans that were in there, you know, for that 97 world team when you had 10,000-plus people in the stadium, you know, it's pretty hard to beat that. You know, the backdrop in Eau Claire or in Kimberley, Wisconsin, the Lower Diamond, I think those two are probably the most two special diamonds that I've been a part of. New Zealand Cuthbert's Greens was a beautiful bar, and I think that's where you guys played Dino for that for the ISFs that one year.
Yeah.
In Christchurch there, which was another nice ballpark.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, you know, probably my three favorites would be those three for sure.
Yeah, those are great great parks for sure, and it's we've said it many, many times. Kimberley comes up all the time. Royal Athletic comes up all the time. Eau Claire comes up all the time. Those are kind of the cathedrals for sure. We were pretty lucky having Gordie Howe around too, right?
That was
pretty.
Gordie Howe comes up quite a bit too, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for coming, Rick. We're on the segment of parting shots, which we prepped you before. So you can either go first or wait and hear what everyone else says and go last.
Oh, let's hear what these two donkeys have
all
to
right.
say first.
Dino, let's go first.
Well, okay, it's more of a question. For Smitty, you know, he alluded a few times that, you know, he likes to throw the ball to his defense, you know, like how his defense is set up. How did you do that when you had Tosh playing behind
you? Here we go.
Like, would you, so if a righty came up, that's why Tosh played short and second, right? So when he was at second base, you had a righty up, you were okay with it. But if he was playing short, you'd have to have him switch with the second baseman. Right, to I don't know. How did you do that? Maybe you can just shed a little light on how you did that.
Well, Shenson, like, is very, like, you know, Tosh alluded to earlier that our uniforms are washed for us by the Garanzas.
Yeah.
Except Tosh never was, because I've never seen him yet in his career die for a ball. So his uniform is probably still pristine from day one. He's probably still put in the package and sell in the factory, because I've never seen him get dirty.
That's true.
Because I had great corners, I had Battle and Clarkson on the corners. So when we pushed Tosh over to second base, Sully just came more to the middle. It's kind of Sully and I were covering that half of the field and kind of left it away from Tosh because it was just safer that way.
Hey, good answer.
Superior positioning. That's why I didn't have to dive, but superior.
I remember.
Reading scouting reports.
I honestly remember there's two times where you somewhat dove, but you did trip at the same time. And we would turn around and we'd say, hey, that does not count as a dive. And he goes, yes, it does. That's true story. At least twice.
Yeah. If that glove was only another 2 inches longer, you would have got a lot more balls.
That's true. Yeah, you know, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. That was good. Not a lot of guests take shots right away, but Dino, that was awesome.
Thanks.
Me?
Yes,
my
please.
My turn? This is first... Smitty, you know, been buddies with you for a very long time, and probably, you know, one of my best friends in this game for sure. And I appreciate you coming on this cast. We've wanted to have you for a while, so I'm glad it kind of worked out. And it was probably, you know, Dougie Allen's shot at you and my shot then that kind of got you going. And I think your parting shot is probably something that you've developed over the last week or two when you knew you were coming on the cast here. So I'm looking forward to that. But again, it's more of a thank you. It's a thank you for, you know, being a great teammate. Thank you for being a good buddy. You know, we've spent a lot of cool moments together on the field, off the field, that sort of thing. You know, like, we got 5 rings together, bud. We've got a national championship in 2001, a national championship in 97. You know, a Pan Am ring, a national championship in 2008. And thanks to you, I got another national championship in 2004. So I really appreciate you being a part of all those rings, bud. It was awesome. For those of you who don't know, Aspen, beat, Vancouver 2-0. Was it 2-0?
It's a good game.
1-0. 1-0. Dino hit a home run.
Nope. Dino hit a double cause I scored.
Was it double?
Yeah.
How did you score? You're not that fast from
starting. I scored, and it was probably after I hit an absolute rocket past you to get on, probably. Or it might have been a walk. I can't remember. But no, seriously, bud, it was awesome having you on. I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Interesting shot. Tosh started off with a nice compliment sandwich, as we call it in the business world. And then he steered it right into a big old steamer right on it. That's
the old forehand back.
Yeah, good for you. The only thing I got, and then I'll let you finish and sign off for us, Smitty, is we talked about it on the story where you taught my Lloyd Dodgers team a bit of a lesson. At the time, it was a tough one, but it's something that I think everyone coming up, especially on the men's side, needs to learn. There are, like you said, there are unwritten rules, but they could be written down. There's some things that are pretty standard that should never happen, and we learned the hard way, and one player in particular learned the real hard way. And but I will say it was an 8-0 game or something bad like that, and it was, man, the intensity went through the roof. So that those kinds of things, that's what we play the game for, right? So thanks for that, and thanks that it also wasn't me hitting at the time. So another great shot right there.
Yeah.
So you're up.
You know what? I was hum up, fantastic. First time I get to bat in a long time. But I said, you know, obviously Union brothers stick together. So, you know, for me, it was a great honor to play with Dino, and to kind of be kind of backing him up most nights. That run we had in South Bend was probably incredible. Yeah. For the last part when we kind of put our spikes on the, I think we put our spikes on the field so that we're kind of done. you know, which is nice, but you know, playing with Dino and kind of supporting Dino for my last part of my career was definitely an honor, Dino. So I'm not taking a part shot at you, Dino.
Oh, see,
here
you,
comes, see here you, comes.
Because it's hard, but I remember the biggest thing for Dino's, which I remember, is just that change up a raw athletic part. I don't know how you get a change up so high up the screen
3 times in a row.
But it was fantastic. We used to have a lady in the top part of the top part there, and she got scared. So they actually built the screen higher when Dino kind of came to town, just to make sure the balls would stay in on his changeup.
Oh. Yeah, I did have a tough day. I do remember that.
You know, and then, you know, like with Tosh, like, you know, I want to thank Tosh for country music.
Amen.
I never was a fan of country music until he showed up in Victoria, doing this southern twang stuff, and now I kind of, I don't mind listening to it. You know, but I would say for Tosh, probably, you know, you're one of my best friends in the game for sure. You and Dino and Patty, you know, traveling to Winnipeg and beating Victoria that one game and listening to Eminem.
Calm,
cool, and collect we were walking back to the car and then shutting the door. And then the four of us just screaming at the top of our lungs after winning that game was phenomenal. But I would say with Tosh, you know, you're probably, you know, one of the best infielders I got to kind of have, you know, play behind me and whatnot. I knew to keep the ball away from you for the most part because I know if it wasn't right at you, you weren't picking it up. But for a short, fat guy, it was amazing how you can cover 2 or 3 feet of ground right away. So,
it's that first step. It's those first 8 steps.
The first step was phenomenal. And the fact that you actually got that many triples with Calgary and an ISC, like, where was the fence? It's 500 feet away or something for you to get to third base? You know, so I'm not sure how you pulled that one off. But, you know, congratulations on that ISC record.
You know, he's got another record, right? We talked about this in probably one of the very first podcasts. Most steps from home to home in an ISC game.
Maybe you slip over the line.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, I appreciate it. This is awesome. So.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming, Smitty.
Great guest, fantastic. Smitty. Good job.
Gotcha.
Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.